Hey, hey, how's everybody doing? Come on, y'all. How's everybody? Yeah, there we go. Well, I'm so happy to see you. It's a great honor to be back at Cottonwood Creek again. And I want to thank Pastor John Mark and Pastor Scott and the staff for having me. And, you know, I was telling the earlier service that every time I come here is a tremendous blessing. And I'm always so excited because you always make me feel like I'm at home and you love me, you love on me. And so thank you to Cottonwood Creek. And thank you for allowing me to share this brief time with you today. And I'm happy to have this opportunity to stand before you. Let's pray together before we start. Father, we do thank you for this time that we have together today in the house of the Lord. The Bible says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Well, Lord, I'm glad. We're glad today to be in your presence. Holy Spirit, we welcome you here. Father, I pray that you would have your way in us. Father, open your word to our hearts. Father, help us to be attentive. Lord Jesus, help us to focus on you and only you and your word. God, I pray you would move me out of the way, that we would hear directly from you. Lord Jesus, I'm so excited that today is a win for the kingdom of God. And Lord Jesus, we get to relish in the victory of knowing you as our Lord and our Savior. And I pray for those who don't know you, but Father, today, that they will be secure in their salvation to live in the kingdom of glory with you, Jesus, forever. Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I got a question for you. How many people in here find it easy to become distracted? Raise your hand if you get distracted easily. Okay, that's pretty much the whole church, kids and grown folk. We're on the right path. How hard is it for you to stay focused on one thing for more than just a few minutes? Or for that matter, a few seconds? Anybody had that struggle? I just want to set the stage. For those of you who have been around, for those of us that have been around for some time, is it easier today compared to how it used to be to become distracted? Yes or no? Hey, mama. I didn't see you. Hey, my mom's here. That's my mom. Hey, and I got the Price family, the Foley family. I got a lot of my friends here. Y'all all are my friends. A lot of things compete for our attention in this day and age. Work, career, the pursuit thereof, church, ministry, school, friends, family, ourselves. Self-exaltation, self-preservation, self-glorification. How many know that self can get in the way? How many know that self is a true distraction? Can I get a witness from anybody? The Bible says, crucify your flesh, die unto yourself, and live unto the Lord. So easy to become overwhelmed today. So easy to begin to drift and to lose our focus and our ability to stay on course. Distractions all around us. I read a quote from a gentleman, John Carmack, and he said this: focus is often a matter of deciding what things you're not going to do. Focus is often a matter of deciding what things you're not going to do. And I ask myself, are there so many things to choose from today that we have to decide what we are not going to get involved in? Is it that many distractions around us? Is it that much opportunity to get off course, to lose our focus, to become distracted? And the answer is yes. In his book, A Hunger for God, John Piper said this: if you don't feel strong desires for the manifestation of the glory of God, it is not because you have drunk deeply and are satisfied It is because you have nibbled so long at the table of the world. Your soul is stuffed with small things, and there is no room for the great. If you don't feel a strong desire for the manifestation of the glory, of the presence, of the power, of the word of God, it is not because you have spent so much time in his word or in his presence or in fellowship with other believers. It is not because you have drunk deeply of the presence and the glory of God. Instead, it is because you and I have nibbled so long at the table of the world. Is anybody bearing witness with this? He said, your soul is stuffed with the small things, that there is no room for the great things. Your soul, your spirit, your inner being is stuffed with the immaterial things that have no intrinsic glory, no eternal value, that there's no room for the great things of God. We fill ourselves with so many small things, temporary things, and people and things and stuff. The other day, for July 4th, how many of y'all eat a lot on July 4th? Well, my buddy Marcus Price and Roxanne Price, they're here with us today, sitting right over here with their beautiful children. They had a barbecue, a smoke at it. Marcus Price can smoke some meat. And one of our other teammates that we played with a long time ago for the San Diego Chargers, we were all there. All three of our families were there, and there were like 10 kids, 11 kids. I'm like, man, where'd all these kids come from? One of them said, I have five. One got three, right? We got one. I mean, it's just a whole bunch of kids, a lot of food, ribs, chicken, hamburgers, chicken hamburgers, potato salad, baked beans, peach cobbler, y'all getting hungry? And watermelon, and cupcakes, and rolls from Spring Creek Barbecue. Well, our other buddy, Reggie, he sat down in a recliner. Now, Reggie's about 6'3", 235 pounds. He played tight end. He's a coach at Nebraska. Now, he sat down in a recliner. He said, my stomach is so hard. I'm so full. And he just laid back in this recliner. So we all just talking. Well, about 5 minutes later, I see Reggie get up. He's looking back at his wife. His wife named Jennifer. He get up. He goes to the kitchen and get in the peach cobbler. Now, he had already ate 3/4 of the peach cobbler. And you hear this, Reg, his wife from North Carolina, Reg, what you doing? I thought your stomach was hard. He said, well, it went away. It went back down. How full are we in the things of God? We get so stuffed on stuff that don't matter. We get so full on things that don't bring God glory, or that don't benefit us for the kingdom of God. Amen? We have to have room for the great things. I want to talk about this morning, overcoming distractions. The power to overcome distractions. What exactly is a distraction? A distraction is a thing that prevents someone from giving full attention to something or someone else. Something that prevents you from giving full attention to something or someone else. Something that causes you to lose focus. Well, what does it mean to overcome? Overcome means the ability, the success in dealing with a problem or a difficulty. To overcome means to succeed in dealing with a problem or a difficulty. And the Bible says, y'all, that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. It is in our DNA to be overcomers. Amen? So when you're dealing with difficulty, when you're dealing with problems, when you seem overwhelmed and you seem distracted, remember, God, Jesus said, you are more than a conqueror in him. And so don't doubt yourself when you get overwhelmed. Don't doubt yourself when difficulty or problems or stress because of distractions in your life come. Remember, Jesus said, you are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. It's in your makeup as a believer. The Holy Spirit of God dwells in you to enable you to succeed. Are y'all following me? Come on. We have the ability. It's in us because of the Spirit of the Lord to be successful and overcome. Joshua Becker, I read an article from him, and he says this: our world has become a constant feed of information and entertainment. We take our phones with us everywhere we go. We connect to the internet wirelessly from thousands of locations. We are fed messages relentlessly from advertisements on nearly every flat surface, and we are bombarded with a 24-hour news cycle. Can somebody say amen? Each bit of information, he said, enters our mind with one goal: to gain control of our attention and resources. Each bit of information enters our mind with one goal: to gain control of our attention and resources. And I ask myself, what is captivating? I ask you, what is captivating your attention these days? What information are you allowing to enter your mind? What are you allowing to gain control of your resources? My wife always says this: garbage in, garbage out. What you allow in your mind and your thoughts will eventually come out one way or another. Do not get it twisted. If you allow garbage in over and over and over again, garbage will come out. But if you allow the righteous things of God, if you allow things that benefit you, edify you, glorify God, and build up your soul, build up your spirit, build up your inner man, your inner woman, if you allow these things to come in over and over and over again, guess what? It's going to come out. Are y'all with me? Because everything you allow in your mind, it's there for one purpose: to gain control of your attention and your resources. You have to be careful what you let come in. What are you pouring into your heart today? What are you allowing to occupy your mind and your thoughts on a daily basis? What are you listening to? What are you watching? And with what are you filling your spirit? The Bible said that your eyes are the gateway to your soul. What are you allowing yourself to take in? Whatever it is, ask yourself the question: is it making you grow in your relationship with the Lord? Is it filling your spirit with righteousness and inspiring you to be strong and stronger in your faith? Be honest with yourself. Be honest with the Lord. Take inventory. Listen to this. The average American from ages 18 to 64 watches TV anywhere from 22 to 43 hours and 56 minutes a week. Y'all, that's a full-time job. Hey, man, what you do for work? I watch TV. 22 hours to 43 hours and 56 minutes per week, the average American watches TV. Y'all remember the TVs of old? The kind that used to look like furniture? How many of y'all remember that? Be honest. Okay. How many of y'all still got one? How many have something stacked on top of one? See, we've all progressed. But remember, you used to go to Sears and Roebuck or JCPenney or what have you. And you go into the showroom and they have these TVs with this nice wood casing around them, right? They weigh about 200 or 300 pounds, right? They're on the floor, right? And they have a couple stacks. But all the screens on those TVs were black. They were blank. There was nothing playing. You had to like the TV for what it was. Go to Best Buy today. Or go to Nebraska Furniture Mart or even Walmart and you walk into the electronics section, all the TVs in the store are on. Playing programs, sporting events, demonstrations, videos. Matter of fact, you don't even need to own cable. When you get off work, go to Best Buy and just watch TV. They even have Xbox and PlayStation that you can demo. I asked Solomon last night, can you actually play those? And he said, yeah, as long as you want to. Distractions are readily available for us today. Researchers found that on average, we check these smartphones on average between 85 and 150 times per day. We touch them, we click them, we swipe them. On average, this is average, 2,617 times per day. That's average. The heavy users, 5,300 times a day. They touch, they swipe, they click. Are y'all hearing me? And at first I said, man, 2,000 times a day, that's a lot. Well, I went to the gas station yesterday, and Robin was sitting with me, and I had my phone on my little armrest right here. I picked it up. This is at the gas station. I just pulled up, picked it up. For what reason? It can't put gas in the car. Picked it up, looked at it, swiped it, touched my little code, swipe, you know, whatever order that is. What? That's three times right there. Then I put it back down. That's four. And then I opened the door and got out and put gas in and came back and picked my phone up and checked my email. That was six times in a matter of, what, 45 seconds? I'm guilty. Anybody else? Just imagine if we use our time wisely for the things that really matter, for the things that really have intrinsic value or eternal glory. Just imagine if we took that amount of time to touch our Bible. Just think we touched our Bible more than once. Come on. A day. Or once every other day. Just imagine how worn out this Bible would be if I touched it 2,600 times in a year. It's pretty staggering. Pretty sobering. But we stay on the phone. Y'all get the point. I get the point. This is for me. Becker says this, with so much information battling for space in our mind, it's no wonder our attention span has been steadily shrinking in the shallows, a work called The Shallows. What the internet is doing to our brains, Nicholas Carr says this, in the year 2000, the average amount of time we could stay focused on one task without our mind wandering to something else, to something new, was a whopping 12 seconds. Today, it's 8 seconds. 8 seconds it takes for us to wander from one task to a new task. 8 seconds. And it's no wonder we have such a hard time completing tasks. How many find it hard sometimes to finish what you started? You get distracted and go on to something else. The trivial information overload distractions may pull our attention from the work right in front of us. But the larger distractions in life may keep us from realizing the life we truly desire to live. And yet these distractions go virtually unnoticed. Example, how about the distraction of a lucrative or a powerful or any, for that matter, career? These have the opportunity to distract us from our talents to benefit our immediate community. The relentless pursuit of a career, the relentless pursuit of money and fame and title and significance can distract us from making an immediate impact in our community. How about the distraction of maintaining a home, a large home, a small home, to try to make it perfect, to try to make it be what you want it to be? We get distracted because we don't actually care about the people that are living in the house. How about that? We want to make our home just perfect. We want to have it decorated just right. We want to paint it a certain color. We want to get a certain amount of friends. And all of this is good and all of this is fine in its proper place. But the distraction becomes the home, and then we lose focus on the people that actually live in the house. Is this speaking to anybody? Got to stay focused. The urge to check our Facebook friends steals more of our time than the friends right in front of us. An urge to spend money on newer and trendier possessions may divert us from using it to accomplish a greater good in this world, to give to a ministry, to give to a person in need. In all of these cases, they keep us from accomplishing a greater significance in our lives. Speaking of Facebook, did y'all hear what Mark Zuckerberg said? I'm going to read this. Let me get these so I don't mess it up. New York Post. Mark Zuckerberg has claimed Facebook is the new church, and the social network can now take on the role that religion once did, giving people a sense of community. The billionaire boss said groups on Facebook could give people a sense they are part of something bigger than themselves, akin to a religious congregation. I tell you what's bigger than me, and that's my Heavenly Father. Facebook passed 2 billion users this week, meaning almost 1 in 3 of the global population are signed up on Facebook. And its founder said people could find purpose and support online that previous generations found support and community previously going to church. Anybody getting concerned yet? In a speech in Chicago, he said only 100 million Facebook users are part of what we call a meaningful community. If we can do this, it will not only turn around the whole decline in community membership we've seen for decades, it will start to strengthen our social fabric and bring the whole world together. Facebook can be a great tool if used properly and kept in its proper place. But Zuckerberg, the founder, has noticed something in society. He says Facebook is now the new church. Well, I say, no, it's not. This is the church. We are the church. It's our job to bring the community together. It's our job to love people. It's our job to support people. It's our job to care for the needy. Not Facebook. It's us. For what religion once did. Not once did. What the church is doing today. But what it tells me, we need to step our game up. How about you? We need to do what God has called us to do. To reach the lost. To bring people to Jesus. To bring people to deliverance. To bring people to healing in Christ Jesus. To spread the word. That's what we need to do. But we get too caught up. How many Facebook friends do I have? How many Twitter friends do I have? Do they like my posts? And so on and so forth. Y'all get me right? And this is not a bash on social media. This is, hey, we got to put our priorities in place and not become so distracted we can't fulfill the call of God in our life. How do we do it? How do we overcome distraction? You got to guard your heart. Proverbs 4:23. It says this, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Keep your heart with all vigilance. Sorry. For from it flow the springs of life. Vigilance. What does vigilance mean? It means the action of keeping careful watch for danger or difficulty. Church, guard your heart. Young people, guard your heart. Husbands and fathers, mothers and daughters, guard your heart. Keep your heart with all vigilance. Carefully watch it. Carefully watch for danger and difficulty, the things that you're allowing to enter into your heart and to your soul and to your spirit. Keep your heart. How do you do it? Daily time in God's word. Daily time in worship, daily time in prayer and fellowship, spending time with God, letting Him nurture you, letting Him fill your spirit, daily time in God's Word. You can't go just every other day. You can't just do a little drive-by word time and drive-by prayer time and keep stepping. It doesn't work. Guard your heart with all vigilance. Guard it. Keep it. Watch over it. You are the gatekeeper of your heart. Mark 4:19 says this. This is the parable of the sower. He said, but the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke out the word and proves it unfruitful. The cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desires for other things enter in and choke out the word of God in your life, and it proves it unfruitful. The Bible said in John 15 that God has called us to bear much fruit. The cares of the world, the things that we seek after on a daily basis, the things that we chase after, the relentless pursuit of the things of the world choke out the word of God. We have to make up in our minds and ask yourself, what is truly my heart's desire? Is my heart to serve God and to honor Him? Is it to glorify God and to fulfill the call of God in my life? Or is my heart to fulfill my own desires and to bring myself glory? Or as some people say, just to do me? Your heart needs to be, my heart needs to be fertile ground for the word of God to take root so that the cares of the world do not choke out God's word. Look at 1 Corinthians 10, 12 and 13. Therefore, let anyone who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Don't think that you're okay. Don't think that you have arrived. Or that all is well now. Don't take your walk with God for granted. Take heed lest you fall. Watch and see what you're allowing to occupy your attention. Take heed of the things that you're allowing into your spirit. Take heed lest you fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He will not allow things to tempt you beyond your ability. But with the temptation, catch this, he will provide a way of escape. The question is, do you want to escape? Well, Lord, I didn't know how I can get out of this. I'm just so caught up. I'm caught up in it. I don't know how to remove myself. The phone rang, but you ain't answering. Somebody knocked on the door of your office. When you're all by yourself, man, when you're all by yourself in the hotel, somebody knocked on the door. You didn't answer it. What if that's God giving you a way of escape? Y'all heard that saying? The guy was in the water. He fell off the boat. He's in the water and he's flailing around because he can't swim. And he said, I'm drowning. Y'all help me. They threw him a life raft. Get on the raft. He didn't get on. He just kept flailing around, flailing, flailing. I'm drowning. So they threw an inner tube. Hey, catch this. We'll pull you in. He let the inner tube just float away and said, I'm flailing. Then the Lord sent a helicopter. Drop the ladder down. Man, get on the ladder. He just kept flailing. Well, he died. And he gets to heaven and he said, Lord, how come you didn't save me? He said, well, I sent the life raft. You didn't take it. I sent the inner tube with the rope on it. You didn't get on. I sent the helicopter and dropped the ladder down, but you didn't take it. How about you? What way of escape is God giving you that you're not taking? He's knocking on the door of your heart. I've come to deliver you. No, Lord, I don't want it right now. I don't want it. It's too good. I like what it does for me. Are y'all hearing me? The Lord will provide a way of escape. But do you want it? Second point, how do we overcome? You got to love God, not the world. Love God, not the world. Look at 1 John 2:15-17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father, but it is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. Do not love the world or the thing. Y'all, it can't get any more plain. Do not love the world or the things in the world. And I wrote myself a note. Why do we love the things of the world so much? Y'all help me out. Why do we love the things of the world? Somebody tell me. What'd you say? It's easy. What else? Convenient. Feel good. That's great. What else? They're shiny. We love the things of the world. Yes, we are the church. Yes, those of us that believe, we are Christians, but we are in the world. We're not of it. But we still love the things that draw us in the world. They're easy. They're convenient. They're shiny. They bring us affirmation. They make us feel as if we fit in. I don't want to stick out like a sore thumb, Pastor Scott. I want to fit in. I want people to see me, that I'm like them. I'm not weird. I'm not rare. I'm not an anomaly. I'm not strange. I'm just like them. Yes, I'm a Christian, but you know, that's over here on Sunday when I go to church. But you know, I'm over here. I want to fit in. Well, guess what? This is the church. We don't just fit in. We don't just get in the atmosphere. We set the atmosphere. We're not normal. Preaching the gospel is not normal. Giving a listening ear to your coworker who's hurting and people just pass by him all day, that's not normal. Feeding the hungry, it's not normal. Going on mission trips, that's not normal. Y'all, we are not normal. Are y'all getting my point? I hear these teenagers. How many of y'all got teenagers? Okay. Well, that's just normal. That's just a saying. Everybody's doing that. Well, how come you did this? You know you're not supposed to do it because I'm just trying to fit in. Well, how's that working out for you? We do the same thing. Consciously, subconsciously. We try to fit in. The distractions of the world cause us to cast off restraints. The Bible said that the people perish because they've cast off restraints. It's okay. People of God, church, Christian, you that are here, it's okay. Matter of fact, it's better not to be normal. I don't want to be normal. Because when I go and I meet Jesus, he's going to ask me, what did you do with what I gave you? Well, Lord, I took it all and I just put it on the ramp, you know, and I just fit right into the society. He said, no. That's not what I called you to do. What about you? You all right with being abnormal? You all right for bringing fire from heaven to touch somebody on earth who needs deliverance? Are you all right of praying a prayer of salvation and a prayer of healing for somebody that's in your presence? Are you all right with bringing deliverance of the Lord Jesus to somebody that's addicted, somebody that's going through hardship, somebody that needs you like never before, somebody that's never met Jesus? Are you okay with bringing God's will on earth as it is in heaven? That's who we are. Oh, yes. That's what we are. That's not a distraction in the world. that should keep us. Remember, we're overcomers. Remember, we have the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember, we have God's word. Remember, we have each other. Are y'all with me? That's who we are. Love God, not the world. I'm learning how to use Twitter. Anybody got Twitter? I'm awful. I don't even understand it. And I know it's easy. I had Facebook in the legislature when I was in the legislature with Pastor Scott. I had a Facebook page, I had 14,000 likes. And back then, I guess that was a lot, right? And Deanna, my chief of staff, she used to run my Facebook page. Said, oh, you got 14,000 likes. This is great. People are liking your post. I'll post something, get 680 likes or whatever it is. Right? And they said, man, that's great. And they said, oh, yeah, I'm feeling good. People like what I'm saying. But what was it all for? And I get that, right? I get it. As long as it's in proper place. But now I got Twitter. Because Solomon, my son, has Twitter, so I keep up with him. And I'm learning on Twitter that your followers to those who you are following ratio has to be in order. I have 64 people that I'm following. And I have 63 people that are following me. And Solomon said, that's not good. Because you have more people that you're following than people that are following you. And so your Twitter is all out of whack. Matter of fact, nobody even likes your Twitter because of your ratio. You got guys got 11,000 followers, but they only have 600 people that they follow. See, those guys are big time. He said, your ratio is out of whack, man. And so when I was studying this, I wrote myself a note. It doesn't matter. I'm still cool. Because I love Jesus, and he doesn't care how many followers I have as long as I'm leading them to him. Hallelujah. It's all good. Now, that's a note that I wrote to myself. Y'all can see I was struggling during that part, right? How many people are following you to Jesus? Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. How many people are we bringing? How many people are we introducing to the Savior, to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Romans 12:2 says, don't be conformed to the ways of this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind in Christ Jesus, testing that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good, what is acceptable, and what is perfect. Do not be conformed to the ways of the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't be conformed to the ways of the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Lord, renew my mind today. Speak to me. Make me, mold me to the man, to the woman that you want me to be. Y'all, it's so easy to conform to the ways of the world. All you got to do is step outside of your front door, and the Bible says sin is crouching at your door. It's easy to conform. It's easy to become what the world says you should be. But we are commanded to be transformed by the renewing of our mind in Christ Jesus. Guard your heart. Love God, not the world. And the last one, cut out all external chatter. Listen for the voice of the Lord. Cut out all external chatter and listen for the voice of the Lord. A principle, life and death principle for the believer. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. Is seeking God the first thing that we do on a daily basis? When you have to make a decision, do you seek God or do you seek people? When you have to make a major crisis decision or everyday dilemma decision, whatever it is, do you seek God and his word and his presence, or do you seek man? Do you look within? What is it that you're doing? Because the Bible is very clear. Seek God. Cut out all the external chatter and listen for the voice of God. How many of y'all sleep with your phone by your bedside? I know y'all not going to help me on this, so I'm going to use myself as an example. And some people say, well, I use mine for my alarm. Well, that's cool. But you can go to CVS and get your alarm for like $8 or $7 or whatever it is to help yourself, because that's what I'm getting ready to do, okay? Pick your phone up, the alarm go off, you turn it off, okay. First thing you do, look at your email. Uh-oh, there go a swipe and a touch. You look at your email, you're not even at the bed. Your eyes are barely open. You can't even see it. Some of y'all wear glasses. You can't see it anyway. And now you want to respond to an email or a voicemail or something that came through since the last time you had your phone down, right? And you want to pick it up and look at it, and you want to give a precise, qualified answer. And you're not even in your right mind. You hadn't spent time in the Word. You hadn't spent time in prayer or worship. And you want to answer a question or give consultation or answer a voicemail, but yet you hadn't heard from Jesus. I am not talking about emergencies. Please get me clear on that. But just every day. Cut out the chatter. Cut out the external noise. And listen for the voice of the Lord. Yesterday evening, I was sitting in a room in a chair. And my wife was sitting in this chair. My wife, Robin, 21 years. She was here earlier. And I was sitting there. And the Lord spoke through Robin to me, because I've been praying, Lord Jesus, help me to cut out all the external chatter and help me to hear you so that I can work on my patience, so that I don't become aggravated so easily because I got so many things pulling at me. So, Lord Jesus, that I spend quality time with you and hear your voice, Lord, speak to me. And so here I am sitting in this chair, and a voice of the Lord comes through my sweet wife, who I've been knowing since I was 19, and she said, have you read Proverbs 15? It said a soft answer turns away wrath. But I had to take that time to spend with Miss Robin, to hear what the Lord wanted me to hear. I could have been on a computer, answering voicemails, answering emails, doing all kinds of things that didn't really matter, but because I took him by the grace of God, I took this time to sit with my wife. God delivered me. This last night, this is real life. Daddies, how much time we spending with mama? Just listening. Sometimes you might be taking a whooping. Just sit there. Hey, you got to take it. How much time are we spending with the kids? Solomon came in last night and laid out on the floor with us to pray and to listen. And sometimes God will use Solomon to speak a word. He's 16. Speak a word through a babe. To me, he don't even know it. He might even be rebuking me. He don't even know it. But are you willing? Is your mind made up to grow in Jesus? To get rid of the distractions? I was talking to some of my senior friends, and I was asking them, how did you used to listen to the ball games before TV and all these things? And they said, we used to sit around in chairs and put the radio right here, and we listen to the ball game. And it says sometimes we'll shut our eyes to use our imagination to place ourselves in the ballpark. But see, today, we got TVs going. Some of y'all got 3 and 4 TVs in the same, so you can watch all the game. How can you watch all the games at one time? I played in the NFL. I don't even know how you do that. But anyway, we got so much distraction and cluttering going on. It's the same thing in life. We need to cut it out. Get before the radio of the Lord. And listen. You're the apple of my eye. You can do all things through me because I give you strength. You don't have to be addicted. You don't have to be angry. You can be set free. How many of y'all heard that? How many of y'all heard from the Lord recently? Touches. But when the last time we heard from the Spirit of God? The one that descended from heaven like a dove. How about him? It's a good time to get back on track. It's a good time. Cut the chatter out. Listen to Jesus. Proverbs 4:18 says this. It says this. Well, I lost it. Sorry. James 4:8. Got a lot of scriptures in my head. Y'all got to forgive me. James 4:8 says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. That's a great promise. But the premise is, draw near to him, and he'll draw near to you. Listen, so many distractions surround us. But it doesn't matter where you live, what kind of house you live in, what kind of car you drive, how many Facebook likes you have. Doesn't matter, you know, the job, all of these things that don't have eternal. Yes, there are means to an end. But I want to encourage us and challenge us to guard our heart, to love God, not the world. Get rid of all the distractions and listen for God. Jesus told the disciples, go away to a desolate place. Y'all haven't even had time to eat. Get away by yourself in Mark 6:31. And I ask you this, where's your quiet place? And when the last time you've been there? I have an appointment every morning with Jesus. And it's not tentative. It's not written on my calendar. It's not written in pencil so I can erase it. It's written in blood. The blood he shed for me. The blood he shed for you. Every drop of blood that Jesus shed had a name on it. Your name. My name. Next time you become distracted, think about that. Is this worthy of the blood of the Lamb that he shed on that cross for me? Which one is more important in this hour? I'm going to challenge myself that way. Because Jesus is worth it. He is the sovereign King, the Lord of Lords, and the King of Kings. And if you don't know Jesus today, the Bible says today is a day of salvation. Know him for yourself. The Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you know Jesus for yourself? If you don't, today is your day. A simple prayer. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Wash me, purify me, cleanse me. I belong to you. No longer do I belong to myself. I want to live with you now and forevermore in eternal glory in the kingdom of heaven in Jesus' name. That's how simple it is. And guess what? When one receives Jesus, the Bible says that the angels in heaven rejoice. Who gonna start the party today? Don't let distractions keep you from fulfilling the call of God in your life and being a blessing in your generation. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for these precious people. Lord, I pray that there will be no distraction, Father, that will come upon us that will keep us. Lord Jesus, that will cause us to lose focus on you, Jesus, our relationship with you, and for why we are here. And Lord, I pray for those who don't know you, that today, Lord Jesus, they will accept you as their Lord and their Savior, that they will come forward, Father, with a declaration that my life now belongs to Jesus. We thank you, God, for your love, your grace, and your mercy. Be with this church as they reach the community. Father, as they reach those that are lost, as they reach the world, Father, I pray for Cottonwood Creek, a special blessing of favor and grace, Father God. In Jesus' name, we thank you, God. Amen.